You can now follow me on all my social media platforms to find out who my latest guest will be. And don't forget to click the subscribe button and the notifications button so you're notified for when my next podcast goes live.
That's what a lot of people don't see. They don't see the behind the scenes stuff. They only see the, oh, he's in the cage, he's fighting. They see you weighing, looking ripped and that. They see your fight, they see your interviews and that. You think, God, he's just being paid loads of dough for that. Nah, we haven't. We haven't, lad. We just go back to the gym now. And like, as you can see from me, blowing up in weight. And then have to work our way back down and get another fight to carry on paying the bills. I'm like, I'm getting less now for the UFC than I did for me. Some of my cage warriors fights.
That's mad to think.
I took
that,
a pay cut for this fight. Still want me pictures and videos, you rat. I wasn't the hardest in my school. I wasn't the hardest in my year. You know what I mean? I was just a little kid. Mm-hmm. I just started doing something and put me heart, mind and soul into it, lad. And I'm where I am now. Mm-hmm. I hate people who put personas and that on, lad.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Colby Covington, lad.
Why?
I don't know if you know him or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Lad, I hate him, lad.
Why?
I hope he gets hit by a bus. And he's just proper annoying. Like, I've been told he's got a ghostwriter and all that, lad. Doesn't even come up with all his own stuff he comes out with.
What?
Like, it's all an act, innit? It's all an act. Everything he does behind the cameras, he's not like that.
That's a mega money fight.
I've been asked before who's the one fight who you'd want to fight. And you're always saying him because of the money involved. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pay-per-view. You're going to get part of the pay-per-view. You're going to want to fight McGregor. But as I've said, that's me the next few years, lad.
Boom, we're on. Today's guest, we've got Paddy the Baddy. How are you, brother?
I'm good, lad. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. Like, buzzing for you, like, I've interviewed over 200 people now. Don't kind of get a buzz anymore, but I was buzzing for you today. Like, you've been all over social media, internet over the last 2 or 3 weeks, like, caning it. But you've been about for ages prior to that, but you've made world headlines now. Now you've arrived, man. How are you feeling?
Lad, I always said this was going to happen. Literally, from day one. I always said, I think I've said it in interviews before, I had my first fight, but I said it years ago. Give me one fight, one post-fight interview, and everyone will be talking about me, lad. And that's what happened. So, to be honest, it hasn't. Like, it's done me bird's head in more, and some of my mates head in more when like we're out somewhere and people are asking me for photos. Because I'm used to it, lad. I knew this was coming. I've always seen it in my future, and it's only going to get bigger and better.
Do you practice law of attraction?
So, to be honest, because I don't like read into it and go over stuff
yeah.
But I say what I'm going to do, and like, it happens. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean?
Yeah, because when I followed Conor McGregor 5-6 years ago, his presence, his aura, everything he says, you believed him. You thought, this guy's on the path, his frequency, his energy, everything was kind of in line, and everything he ever set out to do, he achieved. Like, I get that same feeling with you. Like, everything you say, I believe you. Like, I genuinely do. Like, everything you've put into existence already and everything that you're saying you're going to do, like the fight in Anfield and that, I believe you're going to be the one that's doing it, and you believe it most, I think. And I think not just all the scousers are behind you, but I think everybody in the world, that is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, lad. Like, some of the mad messages I've had from people all over the world, and I can't even, like, now, lad, I can't even keep up with them. Where I've made that new account, lad, my message requests are just off the charts, lad. But I know I'm going to make Anfield happen. I've always said it. Like, whenever I'm there and I watch the game, I was there last Wednesday, I was there Saturday, I'm just looking at the pitch, like, in the night there, how many seats are fit on there? As I'm watching the match, I'm thinking, lad, it'd be heavy in here. Because especially now with that new stand, that stand's getting like renovated, innit? So, lad, when that gets done, there's even more seats in there. And then the seats on the ground, I'd probably do just a bit less than Wembley or something. You know what I mean?
That's class.
Unbelievable.
I always like to go back to the start of my guest, brother, where you grew up and how it all began.
Well, I grew up in Eton, lad. Greystone by Village Lane and that. Not a typically bad area or nothing. It's Like when some of my mates from the gym comes to ours, lad, for the very first time. It's funny, lad, from like Anfield and Weyward, you know, stuff like that, all over the place, Park Road and that. And I always say, mad aren't you, lad, times are hard. And the first ever time they all come to ours, they all started laughing their heads off. I was like, fucking hell, you live in this house, lad, and you say times are hard. what Ellis called me, lad? Ellis called me the Fresh Prince of Eton.
What was the hairstyle like then?
Proper skinhead, lad. When I first started MMA and that, proper skinhead. Didn't even think about growing my hair then, but now I look back at my head and I was like, what was you up to, lad? Like, what's going on with your head there? Proper big head, like 2-1, 3-2. And I just looked after it now. I couldn't go back to that hairdo now. Lad, that's one of the things what everyone's been going on about. He needs a haircut, he needs this. I'd never wanted an haircut. I'd get an haircut. I don't want to get an haircut. I go to the hairdressers, lad. I get the layers put in it. You know what I mean?
How is your school?
Cardleen and lad, all boys school. Went to St. Margaret Mary's before that, but everyone just talks about the seniors, don't they? Cardleen and few people went to our school, lad. Like, I'm sure David Price did. I know Gerard did. You know what I mean? So, bit of a mad one in all boys school, like, but at the same time, because there was no girls there, funny stuff happened. What didn't happen when there was girls there, because people would be too embarrassed and stuff like that. So school was funny. I didn't like it, but now when you look back at it, my dad always says you'll miss it when you haven't got it, and he's right.
Because I know you spoke about school. The teacher says you wouldn't make it to anything, and if you don't stick in, because you never really bothered your ass.
I like to have a laugh in school, lad, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think everyone did, but if you're always telling me I was an academic, I was this, I was that, you know what I mean? I was smart, I need to concentrate on my schoolwork. And then just one day I got caught selling Lucozade and Discos and Galaxies and that. And of him, so Tubert, lad, they were the one with the most profit on them. And I got Nick selling one day, and I got put in one of the teacher's offices, and she was like, oh, what are you doing this for? And I'd had sold from year 7 anyway, so it wasn't like I was selling for that reason. But I said to her, oh, I'm paying for my gym, blah, blah, this and that. And she was like, oh, you don't want to do that, Patrick. You're too small. You're too small for all that. You're an academic. You need to concentrate on your schoolwork. Just like, yeah, go on, sound. Obviously went back to gym that night. Just carried on doing it as it was. And I've been invited back into the school since and that to talk to the kids and that. So, and that teacher was there.
No way.
Yeah.
Say sorry.
No, because you probably can't even remember it.
Yeah, I'd fucking chinned him. Look what I'm doing now, you know what I mean? Like, that just shows you, but in schooling, like, because you don't follow, some people don't follow certain, have to jump through the hoops like everybody else. Like, everybody's different. Like, you've clearly proved that. Like, anybody can be anything as long as you believe and work your fucking ass off.
Yeah, that's what I always say, lad. I always say, like, I was a small kid. I wasn't a big kid. You know what I mean? I think that's helped me now because I started training when I was smaller. You know what I mean? So where I started training when I was smaller, I got used to being with bigger people. And now that I'm one of the bigger ones, I can be, like, I can work both ways. I can be pushing the pace on people or getting it pushed on me where I was the smaller man. I always say it now, kids nowadays, you just need to get into some sort of, not even a martial art, some sort of sport. It gives you a bit of self-discipline and it teaches you that the hard work you put in, you get rewards out of it, and that's what you do with life.
What age did you start going to martial arts? Was it martial arts you started first?
I just started MMA.
Straight away?
15.
Was it, were you bullied or anything, or was there any trouble?
No, I just thought I'd go to this gym one day because I watched UFC. Uh-huh. I watched Kyle Wilson, lad from Baiaz. Was in the youth club one day, lad, when he was like 14, and he put this fight on, Diego Sanchez versus Clay Guida, and lad, it was heavy. Like, they're just having a right hard go at each other, throwing uppercuts from this close and then just swinging eyelashes at each other. And I was like, this is sick, this is a belt of this. And like, I started having a little watch of it. And the first one I stayed up and watched live was Belfort versus Franklin. Belfort knocked him out in about a minute. And I went for a run at like 6 a.m. after it. And then from then on, it was just like, oh, I need to start going here. And then one of the lads I was mates with, Jay, is... sister was with a lad called Joe Neal. He's got a gym now called The Lab. He used to train out of Next Gen and fight in Next Gen, so he recommended I went there on the 20th of January 2010, And as they say, the rest is history.
What was it like first time getting punched and hit? And
I led the first night I was in, I got beat up by a woman.
Molly, was it?
No, it wasn't Molly, lad. It was, I think her name was Millie, though. Now that you say it. She was from Brazil, lad. And as I say, I was a small kid. So I got put with her in the sparring for the tie. And lad, she fucking battered me. Like, she proper put it on me. She didn't give, like, didn't give a fuck that it was my first session, lad. She put it on me. I remember being stood by the desk, and there was a pillar next to it, and there was three coaches stood behind there, and she went to throw something and done a spinning back fist and hit me right on the jaw, and three coaches went, ooh, no, like that meme. Lad, that's what it was like, lad. Straight, and like, it was funny. Just, I got beat up by a woman. Oh. She ended up coming back when I was a bit better and I moved either. You know what I mean? Can't put it on me like that and don't expect to get her put back on you.
Did you have an actual ability for it straight away, or was it something
for
you
the
kept
grappling,
working
on? Yeah. For the grappling, I did. I had natural ability when I jumped in the first class and nearly guillotined someone right away. And one of the lads who was coaching the class, Danny Sweeney, who was a pro at the time, he pointed at I can remember him pointing at and touching someone and going like that, like, so when it's his first session. But I was just a flexible kid and I had no quit in me. Like, still haven't. But I was just a natural when it comes to jiu-jitsu, and I still am. Because even when I was lighter, people say, when you're on top of me, I feel like you're about twice the size. Mm. Like, that's what people still say to me. And I'd probably say it even more now because my fat comes.
That's mad though, like, because you've had a great amateur career. Was it
9-0?
How was your first fight?
I took it on a week's notice. Yeah, one of the lads, Aaron, got injured a week out, and I come in and done rounds, and Paul said to me, do you want to take this fight next week? And he'd already beat one of the lads from the gym, Matty. So I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm sure, yeah, because the fellow was 24 and he'd already beat one of the lads from the gym who was a bit bigger than me. And I was like, yeah, go ahead, sign that. And that was just, I was sad. I weren't nervous at all or not. And it was like, as soon as I won that one fight, or even I had that first fight, I just knew it was what I was meant to do.
And how old were you?
16.
Fighting a kid at 24?
Yeah.
How was it, like, training for martial arts and training for fights? Is there a lot of sacrifice that comes with that?
Yeah, a lot of sacrifice. Like, that's what a lot of people don't see. They don't see the behind the scenes stuff. They only see the, oh, he's in the cage, he's fighting. You see you weighing, looking ripped and that. You see your fight, you see your interviews and that. You think, God, he's just being paid loads of dough for that. Nah, we haven't. We haven't, lad. We just go back to the gym now. And as you can see from me, blowing up in weight. And then have to work our way back down and get another fight to carry on paying the bills.
So when did you turn pro after your ninth fight?
Yeah, when I was 17.
You turned pro at 17?
Yeah.
That's at a young age, no, to turn pro.
Yeah,
in that,
yeah. It's I don't think you can turn pro at 17 anymore. But there was just no one left for me to fight. When I was an amateur, I put it in. There was something called the Cage Warriors Forum. Just like Facebook and Instagram and that now. And I put a thing on the amateur forum saying, when I think I was 5-0, I am the best amateur bantamweight in the country. Who can dispute this? And lad, it had the most ever replies on an amateur forum. Even from a young age, I've been getting under people's skin, lad. And they were just putting names in and I was just beating them all. So I went 9-0. All the names that had been put in the list, in all lists on there, I'd beat them. Or they'd been beat by someone else who I'd already beat in the process. And I just went pro. My first fight was against some crab. was, lad? Journeymen in boxing aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. They survive. Most journeymen in MMA are terrible. But this chicken was we call him chicken because he nearly choked someone out of our gym a year before he fought me or something. He nearly chickened someone out of our gym. So we call him chicken. His name's Nathan Thompson. And he was he was 4-21 or something when I fought him. But he fought all sorts of people at higher weights and stuff like that. And I think I took him down and elbowed him. It was the first fight I was allowed to elbow, because you can't elbow till you're pro. I just took him down and elbowed him, and he had a big hematoma on his head. I was like, yeah, these elbows are sick.
Yeah. What's that feeling then? Because the people I've spoke to who have watched your fights in the past, like, they say you can take a punch. Do you enjoy getting hit?
It's not that I enjoy it, I just don't mind it.
It's a fucked up feeling though.
Yeah, man. It's not like, I get moaned at it in the gym, photo in the gym all the time by my coaches, you know what I mean? Ellison, Paul, Adam and Chris, they're all just like, lad, stop just having it. Because I'll get it with a punch and I'm like, oh, he's one up on me there. And then like, say I get it with another one, I'll just go, met, boom, and I'll just step in and start throwing, you know what I mean? And I have need to get out of that habit really, because in the end it has got to go wrong, because it always does. But for now it's not. So...
Enjoy that, right?
I enjoy it. Like, what I watched me fight back for the second time last night, and lad, I enjoyed watching it. So, like, obviously, people enjoy watching it. So, I'd rather have a fight like that than lying on top of someone for three rounds. Because that's what I used to do when I was amateur. I was just mainly a wrestler, grappler, like jiu-jitsu. So, I just used to take everyone down and sit on top of them and try and submit them.
Does that get boring for you now?
So it can do, like, but when I come up against someone who's just a flat out striker, lad, he's getting put on his back. It goes without saying, because I know I can, a lot of people in the division, I know for the fact that I could take down, submit or take down and ground and pound out, but people like Vendramini, I do want to stand and test myself against people like that.
Yeah, because you've had a great career before, you joined the UFC, like, you've already sold out the Echo, how many times, twice?
Yeah, twice. The first time I didn't proper sell it out, the second two times, yeah.
Well, that's unbelievable. Was Dan Till not one of your undercards? Was he not an amateur at one point?
That was when I fought on OMAC. That was like one of my first three pro fights.
Was it?
Yeah. Or it might have even been when I was main event as an amateur.
Love Dan, man. Great guide. Shout out to Dan Till. When you won the Cage Warriors world title, how was that feeling for you?
Well, that was something that was unbelievable. I mean, especially when it in Liverpool, like even everything about that was sick, lad. Just winning the belt, the celebrations afterwards. But that was me downfall at the time, you know what I mean? Like, so looking back now, I'm glad it happened, but at the time, should have had my head more screwed on, where I didn't.
Did you slip a bit?
Yeah, I did.
Boozing?
Yeah, just all the time, man. Drinking Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going to the gym on like 2 hours kip. Just hanging around with tools.
Yeah,
people that were just there
using you.
Yeah, know what I mean.
It's easy done though.
Yeah, it is. So that's what I always say. Now I'm glad that happened when I was younger. And then obviously, like, I won the belts, but I won my next fight, so I just carried on like that for another 6 months or 5 months till I fought again, and then I lost. And then obviously I had to reevaluate everything and put everything into perspective. And that was when I come back and I won with the flying triangle in the Echo, and then. But it broke my hand, and another sillily again, I fought 3 months post-surgery, so my hand was still proper cabbaged. And again, that's another thing where I look back in hindsight now, though, because the amount of people telling me to pull out, my coach, my dad, my bird, my family, all my teammates, just pull out, lad, just pull out. And like, I felt like I had a sense of, I had to do it because it was in the Echo, because I was the main event. People had all bought tickets to come and watch me. You know what I mean? So, felt like I had to do it, even though I was injured. And I was that close from winning. You know what I mean? With a re-naked choke, even though I had one hand.
Do you not have to cut 12 kilos or something, or 10 kilos?
That was the one when I spewed up.
You hadn't like, fucking I've, died
I've,
or something?
No, I've cut, overnight, I've cut 8.4 kilo. That was when I fought a Rosa and I was sick in the cage. And against Nada, done like 7.7 or 7.8 kilo, and then done 5 rounds the next night. And with that, when on the Nada one, I went to the uni and got a DEXA scan because they got a DEXA in the university in Liverpool. I went and got one of them, and he said, like, at first I thought he said I had the testosterone of a 12-year-old boy. But then when I spoke to Paul Reed the other week, he was like, no, you had no testosterone when you done that DEXA scan. But I'd done that in between making weight and going through the weighing. So, my body was at its lowest it possibly could have been. And what was the other one? I was 0.2 kilo away from kidney failure.
Fuck's sake, man. How's that feeling then, like, going through all that shit to get to wait for a fight? Like?
It's disgusting, lad. It's the worst. That's why Now I am a lightweight. That was a featherweight. That was at the weight below. Even now, people still think I could make featherweight, but I don't want to do that to my body ever again, lad. Felt like I cut a few years off my life.
Doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it losing for the first time in the world title?
That one was horrible. The first time I lost, though, was when I was 18. Lost when I was 18, lad. As I always say, lad, someone puts me in a choke, I go to sleep, and I did. I got put fast asleep in a choke, lad, in like a minute. And again, I half needed it at the time, because at that time I'd won 9 amateur, I'd won my first 4 pro, was just beating everyone, was on a 13 fight win streak, and you just think no one can beat you, lad, and you're unbeatable. Lost that one, done the same again, went 9-0, but I was only 18 to 22, so I hadn't matured enough to realise the first lesson had been learnt. I had to do it again after I went 9-0, I had to lose again.
Mm-hmm. And how is that when you reevaluate everything? Is that when you start making the changes and some adjustments? Because you seem to learn fast, like won the world title and then going off the rails, bringing it back in, having a defeat. That's where your growth is. That's where you learn the most.
Yeah, it is. Like everyone says, you don't lose, you learn. Because every loss, you come out with it. Like I always say to the kids in the gym now, I wish I would have lost an amateur. I wish I would have lost when I was an amateur. Because it doesn't matter. No one ever talks about your amateur record, lad.
Did everything seem too easy?
Yeah, an amateur lad, I was just schooling everyone. I think one fight was a split decision, but like it shouldn't have even been.
Yeah.
I won 6 by decision and won 3 by sub. So I was just beating everyone. And then my first 4 pro ones, I won the first 3 in the first round, the first half of the round. And then my 4th one, I fought a decent kid from London Shoe Fighters. Callum Florian, who was like a good wrestler, and he was about 30, late 20s at least, and I was like 18, and I beat him, and he'd sparred people out of our gym and done better than the people in our gym who were like 7-0 pro at the time. And I don't know, I reckon it all just got to my head a bit, because I was only a kid, I was only 18.
Yeah.
It's mad though, because you think, when you're 18, you think you're a man, then when you're 21, you think you're a man. And even for me, when you're 23, you think you're a man. And you realise only when you're 25, 26 that you do become a man.
I'm 37, mate, and I've still yet to find that. Fuck it, innit, mate? So I mean, like, I've still not got a fucking clue what is going on, bro. Like, I genuinely not. Like, everything I do, I just fucking wing it. I've got my affirmations and I've got my visions of where I want to take things in life. And everything I do, I achieve. But I wake up some days and I think, I ain't got a fucking clue what's going on today, man. Like, I genuinely don't. Like, I think that's where people can relate to you so much, because the zero fucks given attitude. What do you think it is with the Scousers? Like, he's like a tribe within like a different universe. Like, you don't give a fuck about it. Like, so I've got so much love for Scousers, but it's you don't give a fuck. Like, you look at all the fighters and stuff, there's something not right. Like, I think there must be something in the water down here.
We're all tapped in the head, like. Even to get in there and fight, tapped in the head.
Yeah.
But most Scousers are tapped in the head anyway. I always say we're our own breed, lads. We're our own type of people. Yeah. We are. Scousers just are. Like, there's no one in England but like a Scouser. The only one you can say is half like a Scouser, but a proper woolly back version is a Geordie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, they're not like us.
These are a different breed.
I always say Irish and Jocks are more like Scousers than anyone in England.
The Glaswegians, the Irish, the Geordies, the Scousers, kind of, I don't know what the fuck that is. Maybe they just put something in all our waters. Yeah. This is all about fucking
mad lads.
Yeah, because the Scousers are flying. They've always had a great names for fighting.
Yeah.
But you seem to be now the golden boy. You seem to be that. Do you feel as if there's more pressure put on you? Are you still enjoying it?
I just take it in my stride, lad. Yeah. I'm not asked one bit.
Because the UFC came calling for you twice before, is that correct? Twice.
One at 21. Why did you not come back? 23. Because Cage Warriors had just offered me a very big new deal, and the money they were offering to get paid in pounds to not get taxed as much as you do straight away in America. Know what I mean? It was just a no-brainer, lad. Like, I helped pay stuff off what I needed paying, like my ma's mortgage, and I helped my sister get something. And obviously now I've got my own house. Like, that all come from fighting for Cage Warriors. Come off the wages off them.
Yeah, so you owe a lot to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair play, man. Like, sticking with them, they're offered good money, and it just goes to show how much the UFC actually offer people. That that's the biggest fucking.
Well, I'm getting less now for the UFC than I did for me. Some of my Cage Warriors fights.
It's mad to think. I've
took a pay cut for this fight.
That's mad to think, but look at your social media.
It's now, yeah. That's what I mean. That's all exploded.
Yeah,
I've got,
yeah, yeah.
I've got mad amounts of sponsors getting on my manager now. Like, so in that terms, it's I'm gonna earn more. 100% goes without saying.
Yeah, it's a business. Yeah. Deal, have you got good people behind you to guide you that way as well?
Yeah, I have. I've got, as I say, Graham Boyd and laddies. Just looking after everything for me. Whenever anyone emails me now, I just thought, sends me a message, I just say, just speak to Graham. Speak to Graham, man. He sorts everything, lad.
Yeah.
He's the man.
After your fight for UFC, the girl was saying, like, would you want to call out anybody? And you're like, I'm not calling out anybody, but I want to call out fucking Instagram, the lizards. I want my account back. Yeah. Your account, I think you had 130, now you're hitting a million now, but it's unbelievable how things like that just... People just like, ah, this kid's a fucking crackpot.
I had 157, 158,000, lad. And I was dying to get that. But I still want my stuff back off it. Instagram. I still want my pictures and videos, you rat. Oh, I swear, lad, they're horrible, you know.
Why did they delete it?
Bullying and harassment. Because, lad, trolls give me shit. And I can't help myself, lad. I give it back. And then, because obviously... My name's the one with in like the limelight a bit. People report my comments. Why are you speaking backwards? You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one giving it back. Don't block me. You know what I mean? All the stuff I do on there, I'm ever doing, sharing charity links and GoFundMe pages and stuff like that, speaking to people about stuff. And then they're legging me because of bullying and harassment. Oh, lad, I swear to God.
Have they ever
came? But anyway, they haven't ever got back, but I've got a tick on my new account, so I think that's their way of saying, yeah, you're not getting that account back. There's the tick. Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, but fuck you.
How was it then making the transition from Cage Warriors to UFC? Just the same?
It's just the same for me, lad, yeah. It was like, everyone said that to me, but for me, lad, I've always been doing, like, the media was a bit more. But I've always been doing loads of interviews. Like, people have always been getting on me to do, like, little interviews over the phone, fight week and stuff like that, and little FaceTime interviews. So, lad, I've been doing that for ages. Like, that's nothing new to me.
Yeah.
Like, where they had to get you, where they had, because I got there late as well, I had a proper schedule, lad, from, like, 9 a.m. on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday morning till, like, 3 p.m., 4 p.m. I was just busy doing stuff all day. What I mean, like, interview with this podcast with him, pick me clothes up, sign the posters, go to the Apex and get all your pictures and all your videos and your little interviews and stuff like that.
That's mad, though, that, like, all the stuff that you need to do. Is that before a fight as well?
Yeah, that's fight week, lad, while you're cutting weight.
Fuck's
but
sake,
not cutting weight, but while you're water loading and stuff.
Can that be a hindrance towards a fight where you think you can't be asked, but...
Nah, with me, lad, it keeps you busy so you're not just nitpicking of food. That's what I do, lad. Yeah. Like, luckily enough, because I was late to Vegas, it was just me in my room. So there wasn't, like, no little bit to... Because I'm a grazer, lad. If something's there, I'm just like, yeah. As you saw before when you walked in with that bag of food, empty. Lad. Like, just like that, yeah. Go ahead, have one of them. Yeah, and I just try everything. So it was better, lad, because I was in my own room. I weren't doing that as much. And I was going to other people's rooms, lad. Adam and Rimmer had these from Whole Foods, these like chocolate coated nuts, lad, they were heavy. I had a few of them, lad. I was like, oh, I need to stay away. Stay away from their room.
What was your training like for your first fight in the UFC? Was anything different or was it the same strategies?
Just we look at the opponents and see what will work and what won't work against them, you know what I mean? And you work on yourself mainly, you know what I mean? But then you work on little things as well that could work against them.
Is that more difficult though with the limelight and the pressure because you just boomed, like, now you were already a world class fighter, but with the UFC it just kind of gives you an extra bubble,
yeah,
like, it gives you an extra elevates you more, doesn't it?
Cage Warriors has got about 150,000 followers on Insta. The UFC's got like 28.9 million, lad.
Yeah,
that's the difference. Like, on my original account when I got, like, I think I was on like 80 something thousand when I got signed by the UFC, and then they put a picture up, because they don't even normally announce signings, to be honest. Like, people just get signed with the announced man. Mm-hmm. And like, my followers, like, when I was like 140 or something like that, 150, just because the UFC posted that, my followers just went wild.
Do you think that's why they can get away with shit wages? Because the everything else comes outside of that.
The way the sport's always been.
Yeah.
Sport's always been like that, lad. And a few fighters need to stand up and make it not be like that. But I'm not going to be one of them fighters that needs to do that, because I'm going to be getting paid.
Yeah. You've been to the top of the tree now, man. You were getting offers everywhere. Because obviously, when you see.
Do you think McGregor's going to stand up and do that and be like, oh, yeah, everyone needs better wages? No, because you get heavy wages.
Yeah.
And I'll be getting heavy wages.
Mm-hmm.
So look after yourself.
Because when you see Molly and that getting upset when she won fight and ain't getting extra paper and that, like, it's a class thing to see. But people, you're getting in there and fucking risking it all, man.
Yeah, and like, no one ever takes into account the show money and win money as well. Mm. If you lose your fight, you get half the money. You know what I mean?
Do you?
Yeah, because you get your show money. So, like, the contracts are like 10 and 10, 15 and 15, 20 and 20. And, like, if you get your show money, so just to fight, you get your 10. And then if you win, you get the other 10. If you don't win, you're only getting the original 10, lad. And you've got to pay your manager, pay your coach. You don't come out with much, lad, let me tell you.
It's just the buzz of fighting, though.
Yeah, I just love fighting, me. I just enjoy fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, my favourite thing to do in the gym is spa.
Fucking crazy, that button.
I just enjoy fighting, lad. I always have.
So after when you win then, because like guys like Teddy Atlas and we're speaking very high level, he's a legend.
Absolute legend. When I seen that from him, I was just like, wow, it's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
That was sick. Proper sick.
How was that podcast?
That was sad. It was just that, like, that's, as I say, on the Monday I got back from Cornwall, I had to go straight to London to do match of the day on the Tuesday. So as soon as I got the hotel, I had to sit down and put my phone on and do that one. 9 o'clock at that time.
How's your burden at dealing with the superstardom now, man?
I said to you the other day, you need to get used to it because this is just the start. Like, it's going to be 10 times worse than this. In the next few years, we're probably going to have 4 bouncers stood around us.
Yeah.
So, like, get used to it.
Why do you think I was on the DM straight away, bro? Before I had to go through about 6-7 different fucking managers. Well, I mean, just boom, mate, and I was like, ah, he's fucking class. Can you hear me now? You're shouting. I'm thinking, I don't know.
That just come on, you know. Yeah. They just put that on and thingy, yo. Like, that song, come on. And I just, lad, when you win a fight, there's no feeling like it.
Mm.
Like, the only thing I can, like, compare to it, and I've never had a child, so I don't know, is watching your bear give birth and holding the kid. Because everyone says that's what the best feeling in the world. Like, that's the only thing I can compare winning a fight to.
Mm-hmm. What was your game plan getting into your first fight?
It's coming to knock his head off.
It's first round, because you predicted that?
So I said the whole time, I'm coming to beat him in the first round with my hands.
And you never felt that punch from him?
No. It's funny, I turned to Adam after him and went, lad, why are you all going on about this punch? I never went down, did I? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no. I was like, what the fuck are you all going on about then?
Yeah.
But lad, when I've watched it back, it's the noise out of it. Because the noise of the punch just makes it sound even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing what just made him, well, lad, he hit me with one of his best shots and I just stood there. Like, I know why I done that as well. Like, I throw a certain type of punch and I roll in between, and in that one I didn't roll. So I know why I got, if I would have rolled and threw the punch I was going to throw, I would have fucking knocked him out. But
yeah.
I never rolled and got caught with that left hook because of it.
How was it fighting without any fans?
Well, I fought twice without fans. To be honest, I'm 3-0 in my last 3 fights without fans with first round finishes. but at the last one, there was like 100 fans at the Apex. But me two before that, the last 2 cage guys ones, haven't had anyone there.
I'm surprised with 4 Scousers that night
on
the card.
Yeah, if you'd include Aspinall as a Scouser. Like.
Yeah. Why was it not?
It was meant to be you, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was meant to be you.
Or was it?
Yeah, it was meant to be you, but you just couldn't get it all sorted in time, I don't think. So I ended up getting moved to Vegas.
That's a pain in the ass, though, isn't it? Try to get dates and there's so much
good tape around that. It was all hard work, lad. It was even harder for me, lad. It was just all stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that I got moved there, because then that was less time to get your visa sorted. And it was just all a proper big headache. Yeah. That's why I got there late, lad. It was stress.
Because people love you for your honesty and you're no holds barred and you just say it how it is. Because guys like Jake Paul and stuff, you call him a sausage and then he's replying like...
He's just a tool, lad. I don't even like talking about them idiots, lad, you know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what about... What's the story with Conor McGregor? Was he at your house one day?
That's, lad, that was what the story was meant to be like. But, like, at the time, I was out all the time myself. I'd just lost a few weeks before, actually. And I was still just in a mad place, just wanting to go out and get absolutely slosh. I wouldn't think about it. And he was meant to be outside ours, lad, but I got my mask to check the cameras, because obviously if McGregor's at your door, you're videoing that, aren't you? And banging it all over the Insta and getting pure views. And he wasn't. He must have been at someone else's. He was with someone who was in the city at the time. And I remember that lad bumping into me in Glasgow going, lad, we had the big fella at your door. I was like, lad, you never. And he's like, no, we did. I was like, lad, you never, I promise you, because my ma's got cameras. Oh, no, we did. I was like, well, lad, you were at the wrong door. You know what I mean? I'm gutted. I wish I was there and like they were at mine. I would have been like, what is happening? What's going on?
What was it at your door?
I don't know. It was either a straightener. Like the lad who I've seen in Glasgow started to tell me it was for a straightener. But then other people who know my mates have said they spoke to people who were in the party and he wanted me to go partying with them. So I don't know, lad.
Have you not spoke to him?
No, I've not. Like, the first ever contact we had was that tweet, and he tweeted me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's apart from that, the only other time I spoke to him was in Cage Warriors before he ever had his first UFC fight.
Yeah. He's an absolute legend in the game. He kind of took UFC to another level.
Yeah, he has. He changed the game, lad. Yeah. Like, he doesn't get enough respect for it because he changed the game.
Jealousy, though.
Yeah, it is, lad. People go on about him now, but he literally changed the face of the sport. Yeah. So you've got to give him the respect for that.
Yeah, so he's opening doors for guys like yourself to come through, and you've seen the marketing tools and strategies that he done. Like, he was a double champ, man. Like, he done that first out of anybody like to do that, and that, and the UFC's fucking one belt's fucking hard, never mind to win two.
Yeah,
and obviously
is.
Then the global stardom and the fighting the Mayweather for 100 million, anybody would fucking do that. And it's the hatred and the jealousy there.
Yeah, there is.
But I think he thrives on that. Like I say, man, he's a legend in that sport, and everything he's achieved is fucking second to none. That's why the hatred and people who's been doing it for 20 years and can't get nowhere near his level.
That's why one of Wow, lad, I've just completely forgot what I was going to say there. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Because he was making that much money, the jealousy with him. Could you fight him? Could you fight
Conor
McGregor?
Yeah, he's my weight. Yeah, I know. He's 155.
Could it possibly happen? That's a mega money fight.
I've been asked before, who's the one fight who you'd want to fight. And you're always saying him because of the money involved. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pay-per-view. You're going to get part of the pay-per-view. You're going to want to fight McGregor. But as I've said, that's me the next few years, lad.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to fight me because I'm the one getting them pay-per-view numbers in. Mm-hmm. No, like, that's what's going to happen. You never know. We could eventually end up fighting to be the biggest pay-per-view of all time.
That'd be class, man.
Would, lad. And we could do that at Anfield, lad.
That'd be class.
But he's always wanted Croke Park, hasn't he? So.
Yeah. That could be his sign-out. His last fight. He's still got another few years in him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he has. Everyone's saying he's finished, lad. He's not.
Nah, if anybody can bounce back, I believe he can. He's got that mental strategy. But again, when you're making so much fucking money,
that's it, lad. When you've got that much dough, how can you have the same, like, as you say, fire that's under your ass as you did when you didn't have that money?
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's just not.
Your division seems to be the strongest, man.
It's the Shark Tank of the UFC, 155. That's why I did think about going back down to 45, because it's a lot, much of a quicker route to the belt. Ty McGregor done it as well, you know what I mean? 45, it's an easier route to the belt, but just can't be arse killing myself, lad, to make it. So I'll just fight killers at 155.
What do you think? Like, Khabib says he's retired, but do you think you could be the kind of guy that he would come back and fight?
I don't know, lad. If I got under the skin enough, you never know. But he's not fighting again till something like, I hate stuff like this, but his mum passes away because he promised his mum, didn't he? Promised his mum that he won't fight. So he's not fighting again until she allows him to fight or that happens. You know what I mean? I just don't think he's fighting because he's made a promise to his mum, lad. So
yeah, seem loyal that way. Yeah. Like, yeah. Would anyone ever get you to stop fighting?
Probably not. No. Probably not. My dad always says I'd rather you be a bricklayer. I hate this for all people asking for pictures, and I'd rather you be a bricklayer, but lad, this, I know this is what I was put on this earth to do, lad. Not just fight, entertain people.
How is it for family members and friends to watch you though, fighting in a cage? Do they get used to it, or do they still get scared, nervous for
my
you?
My mum doesn't watch any fight. My mum come to one fight and I lost. She'll never come again. She come when I got beaten, lad.
Do you blame her for that?
No. You could if I wanted to. I wanted to be an arsehole about it. I could. But my dad and my uncle both come to every fight that they can come to. But then when I actually fight, they go and stand at the bar going like, you know what I mean? Just acting all mad because they don't want to watch. And my sister half does that. My sister half something like that. But it's annoying when my bear gets pissed. Like, when my bear gets pissed, I can just say, come on, Paddy. I'm just like, don't shut up. Making a show of us, girl. Turn it in. So I tell her now, don't get drunk before a fight.
Because it must be tough. Like, that's a fucking ruthless sport. Like, you can die, man. Like, it's life
or
death.
Yeah, you can, man.
Do you feel that added pressure when more family and friends are there?
You feel the most pressure in like the echo, like, you know what I mean? Because it's all your own fans. Like, that's what I always say. I've always said my UFC debut, or no matter where it is, I won't be that nervous, because unless it's in Liverpool in front of my own fans again, and I've lost there, lad. So there's no worse feeling in the world than losing in that echo arena when it's full. Mm-hmm. And I've done that twice. You know what I mean? Yeah. So fighting in front of friends and family, it's just something I've always done. My mate always comes to me fights, like my missus does, me dad and that do. My dad's been coming to grappling comp since 2010. So it's just part and parcel of it, really. I don't really get nervous fighting anymore. Obviously, when you're standing in the cage at the last second, you think to yourself, I'm mad on this, and I'm about to start having it with this fella. But that's just what you do. You just, like, when I get in there, I try and blank everything else out. The only voices I want to hear are my corner's voices.
Your man Dad must be so proud, though, that for what you've achieved, to being only 26 and everything you've already achieved, like, they must be fucking buzzing, mate. They must be walking around this city with a t-shirt on and your face on like that. Like, they must be, because I'm fucking proud of you, mate. I've only just met you today. Like, because of everything you've achieved, man, it's such a good feeling. And that goes for any kid that's watching, or anybody watching, that things can be achieved if you truly believe it. Like, you genuinely believe that everything you're going to do is going to come into existence.
That's what I say to all kids now. I was like, lad, if you want to do something, just do it. Believe in yourself. And that's all that matters. Believe in yourself that you can do it. That's all I've done. And I wasn't the hardest in my school. I wasn't the hardest in my year. You know what I mean? I was just a little kid. Mm-hmm. I just started doing something and put me heart, mind and soul into it, lad. And I'm where I am now. Mm-hmm. So that's what I always try and get across to the younger kids, because a lot of them get like stuck on the wrong path. I could have easily done that. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to do in this city, but you've just got to find something that you're good at. Not even what you're good at, find something you enjoy. Because you get good at something if you enjoy it. You want to do it, so you carry on doing it and you get good at it.
Yeah. Has anybody called you out yet?
Oh, lads, all sorts. Who? I'm not even going to say any of their names. Bums.
They're all calling you out now.
Loads of them. There's some yank. There's one of your fellow jocks. Who is there? There's a few, lad. There's a few on Insta. There's one on Insta, one on Twitter, and there's some somewhere else.
Calling you out.
Yeah,
is it Sean O'Malley as well? But you're fucking two divisions above him.
I mentioned something about him in an interview in March. No, was it March? Sorry. April or May, anyway. I said something about him in an interview in April or May. And now all media outlets are going back to this thing, you know, in like from months ago, and putting it out as if I've said it now. And I haven't said it months ago. Yeah. And they're mixing up little things what I've said in it. You know what I mean? And putting them together. And I said something like, he's a little pothead. And then but said something else, and they've mixed like, so he's a bitch ass pothead, I said. When I called him a pothead in a different line, laughing about it. And I said, oh yeah, he's a bitch ass over his ankle. He put two different lines together, lad. He's a bitch ass pothead. Uh-huh. I was like, lad, I never said that. Why are you misquoting me? Mm-hmm. And he put the article in, and I was like, yeah, exactly, read it. They're in two different paragraphs. Yeah. Oh, lad, they're horrible.
I actually seen him speaking about you, but he actually spoke quite highly of you.
Yeah, no, what I said something about him, like, something about he's a striker. but he, I thought he doesn't really like grappling. But I've seen a few videos of him lately, grappling lad. So it's a bit like me. A lot of people said I was just a grappler and I couldn't strike. I've probably done the same narrative with him and thought, oh yeah, he's just a striker, he can't grapple. Where he obviously can grapple. But if he wants to fight me, I'll fight him, especially because of how much smaller he is. But as I say, we're on different paths, lad. He's a 135er, I'm a 155er. There's £20 in between us. To be honest, the UFC will not want to put us together because they'll want to keep us going on a upper trajectory on our own. You know what I mean?
Start a business for
them. Yeah, that's it. Business for them, lad. They're not stupid.
Yeah.
They're going to want to keep us apart. They'll probably end up fucking having us as a guest on a fucking show together or something.
Mm-hmm. A very good bit of business.
Yeah, they'll have us making mates, lad, in the next few months, lad.
Where do you go? Who's the next fight then for you? Who's on your sights?
Anyone, lad. I don't care. Literally, I'm not asked. Whoever's name is on the contract, I'm going to sign it. Doesn't really matter to me.
Who's your ultimate goal? Who would you have loved to fight? Any weight, any division?
I don't even
care.
Nah, I don't even look. I can't, when people say that, any weight in that, I'm like, I can't really think about that in my head, know what I mean? Anyway, because I always look at people from like the weight divisions. But like people always say, he was like your hero or like the person that you like in MMA. And my one's Big Nogueira. Mm-hmm. He was like, he could take a proper beating. And 9 times out of 10, he caught you in a submission or beat you on the feet. Know what I mean? He'd always, even then, he was, as I said, smashed in lads for 15 minutes. He'd always have a chance of catching and something. That's what I pride myself on, what I'm like. Like, I know for a fact, you can keep beating me up and keep hitting me up, but I won't tap, I won't quit. You'll have to snap something or put me asleep.
Yeah. See, when you said you were on the booze and stuff and you were kind of slipping, when you reined it back in, did you do a lot of sacrifices like from friends and...
Yeah, a lot. I just got back to me roots, lad, and got back to me original, me good mates, lad, who've been there since day one. You know what I mean? Got back to them, where I'd obviously... I'd had a few clings on around the time, Klingons around the time, and I just end up legging all them and stopping speaking to them, getting away from them. And obviously some people who had started speaking to in that time I still speak to, but a lot of them I don't. And
yeah.
I just stick to me little tight-knit firm of all the lads from by ours, people I've went to primary school with and senior school with and stuff like that, know what I mean?
Seeing you start becoming more successful than other people though, it's the jealousy and the hate it comes with. Have you felt any of that shit yet?
Some stupid comments and stuff like that. But I've had that, as I say, I've had that for years.
Have you?
I've had that for years, lad.
How
in this
deal
city.
With
that? I don't know, some people are just jealous little rodents, lad. Like, you just get on with it. Like, yeah. I've had a gang of, well, I say a gang of divvies, but mainly one divvy, stupid conspiracy theorist, make a conspiracy theory video about me, know what I mean? And try and tarnish my name because he knew how big I was going to become and he hates me. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. And I'm where I am now. And he's still stuck in his little shithole. So I just laugh about it.
That's all you can do, man. Like every time you level up, there comes new waves of hate. There comes fucking like that's fuck all to what's going to come. Because that's you.
Yeah, like, it is. That this is just the start. Yeah. Like I know by the end of the year I'll have a million followers.
I think you'll have that by the end of the month, next month.
I fucking hope so, lad. It's even more money.
You know
get that
I mean?
Money in, lad. Uh-huh. I need to pay my mortgage off. Yeah. Shut up, I should get moving.
Uh-huh. You have the key to Liverpool by the end of fucking next year. Anyway.
Fucking hope so, lad.
The only Phil's bar, mate. They'll give you the key, mate. The boys love you in here, bro.
I know what you were saying before. I need up on that wall real soon, lad.
Oh, mate. I can't believe you've not bought it, accounts. Mate, I should be up on the fucking wall as well, mate.
Lad, Dunny, man. That picture of Dunny's next to the Caprio.
But your career is, like I said, this is only the beginning, I feel, for you, like, from everything you have. But the people not seeing the groundwork, what you've done over the last 10, 12 years to get to where you are. People only see...
people only see this now and they think, oh, he's just jumped on the scene. He's only just, lad, I've been doing this for nearly 12 years, lad. I haven't just jumped on, believe me.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 12 years in January, lad. So I've been putting the work in for years and years.
Yeah.
That's what one good thing about the last few years, though. In like December 2018, it was just after I'd lost to Bach and I was just getting back in the gym. Someone started coming around, following me, filming. And... So December 2018, he's still doing that now, coming around filming me, and lad, when that ends up coming out, that's going to be an unbelievable little documentary, that.
Yeah.
Because, like, that is from, like, the lowest of the low, where I was when Mach beat me to the highest of highs, lad, winning my UFC debut.
That's what the gold is, though. Those videos will be worth fortunes in fucking 5-10 years' time.
Fuck, lad, that'll be like a 10-parter on the fucking Netflix, like The Last Dance.
Because so people love going back and looking at the old stuff.
And he's got over 30 hours of footage now, lad. That's a 10-parter on the Netflix. Money! You know, get it done.
It's fucking unbelievable, but like, it's a great feeling to see people succeed. People, when they're doing well, like to see other people do well. Like, it's the hatred. You seem to thrive on that, though. You seem to thrive on the little digs.
That's what I was meant to say before. You've just brought it back, Belter. That, like, I'm like, though, you said McGregor, he thrives on, I do, thrive on that. I always say one of the things I enjoy doing is proving me, the people who believed in me, right, but just as much I like proving the doubters wrong. Yeah. You know what I mean? I like saying, I told you so. But it's something I like doing. I like saying to people that were saying, oh, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. What now, lad? I told you so, didn't I? I told you I was going to. And what did I do?
Yeah, that's the best feeling. Like, I can get thousands of comments and they'll all be positive and I'll get one asshole who...
And that's what sticks out.
My tan or my teeth, man. I'll think,
that's what sticks out, lad.
And then I'll lie in my bed all night thinking, oh, fucking, that bastard.
Like, that's what...
Yeah.
My manager's always said it to me, and Ian Dean, he's always said, you need to become a black belt on social media. And I think I'm starting to do that over the past couple of months. Because at the start of this year, lad, if you were to say, at the start of this year, 3 months ago, if you would have said, 3-4 months ago, if you would have said something to me on Instagram, and I'd comment back, and I couldn't help it. I thought, if I'm letting them say that to me, they're winning. But when I look at it now, if I say something back,
they're winning. Yeah.
Because I'm taking time out of my day to say something to them, and they're going to their mates, oh, look, Paddy said something back. So, now, lad, I just blank all the negative ones.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Into their energy.
After when you put your phone down after 5 minutes, lad, you forgot about it because you're doing something else.
Yeah, you're just feeding into their energy.
Yeah, you don't need that negativity.
Yeah. For any kid watching that's maybe going through a bit of trolling or bullying or kind of online abuse, what advice would you have for them? Don't respond.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Don't respond. Because the more you respond, the more they're feeding off that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just blank it out. Just, I always used to say, oh, they've won if I blocked them, but just block them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you've had the biggest debut in UFC fucking history, the way you've come in, like the way you've totally relished that and you've totally utilised it to your advantage.
It's funny, lad, because I can remember about 4 weeks before I fought or something, I was watching top 10 UFC debuts on the YouTube, and I videoed it on my Insta story and was like, top 10 UFC debuts, I'm going to be on this list in the next few weeks. Watch. I knew it was coming, lad. I just knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've always said it. One fight, one interview, and I'll be everywhere. And it's happened.
Those fucking memes, mate. Every time I go on social media, it's just your face, mate.
Sick,
it's
innit?
Fucking nuts.
And the best one is the do the roar.
Mm-hmm.
Do the roar. Everyone's saying I look like the kid off Shrek. That's the best one, lad. Someone's put like two photos together and it's Paddy after his fight, and it's a picture of me because when I'm in the back, because we're here all Vaseline on your face, lad. I've just done that to get my hair out my out my face, and people were saying I look like Prince Charming. So it was like Prince Charming out of Shrek. It was like Paddy just after his fight, Paddy a week after his fight, and then because my cheeks are like that, it's like the dude, the rocket.
Yeah, that's fucking swear, lad. But those videos are the ones that boost you.
Yeah,
they're making you money.
I've been called the one-off bench warmers who eats his own sun cream, won't go outside. I've been called Napoleon Dynamite, which is a bad one. Owen Hart, Owen Wilson.
The Fifth Beatle was a cracker.
Yeah, the Fifth Beatle's a good one, though. Owen Hart's a good one, to be honest. I think we're obviously Jay off the Inbetweeners. I've heard that one for about 9 years. Well, there was a few others. What people? He-Man. You know what I mean? All ones like that, lad, what people were putting in. And then I shared one of them myself, didn't I? And then people were commenting, oh, you missed this, you missed that, you missed that. You know what I mean? But I must look like major people, me.
People are bastards as well, though. It's because you've got that nature where you laugh it off as well. People think it's... But again, it's just all that shit, people mentioning your name, everything that you're doing, it's just pure business.
Yeah.
It's just pure promotion to keep building your profile. You'll be sitting here and everything will be going rising because people were going, who the fuck is this? You've made global headlines because of the way you are, the way you talk, the way you just...
I'm like, that's just me. I hate people who put personas and that on, lad. Yeah. Like, I hate Colby Covington, lad. Why? Don't know if you know him or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Lad, I hate him, lad.
Why?
I hope he gets hit by a bus. And he's just proper annoying. Like, I've been told he's got a ghostwriter and all that, lad. Doesn't even come up with all his own stuff he comes out with. What? Like, it's all an act, innit? It's all an act. Everything he does behind the cameras, he's not like that. When there's not cameras there, he's not like that. And that just infuriates me, lad. Because he's just fake.
Have you met a lot of people out in the industry?
There's a few, yeah. But he's meant to be the worst one out of them all. But yeah, there's a few people like that who are like, they act different in front of cameras, and that just rubs me up the wrong way, lad. People who do that are bad, bad helmets.
Yeah, well, it's two-faced then, isn't
it? Yeah, like, you have to just be yourself, and that's why people like me, because I'm just authentic, lad. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. I can't help myself.
Let's talk about your tune, your song, your walk-in song. It's fucking banging. I heard you mix that yourself.
I asked the DJ to put them two songs together. Shan done it for me. Because the Lethal Industry, the first song, it doesn't really drop good. Know what I mean? It's like, just like goes into the same beat. But Where's Your Head At as a heavy drop. So just like, yeah, that tune into that one. And lad, it's just the heaviest beat ever.
Yeah. So see, when you get in the ring, you're singing and dancing, like, if somebody didn't know you and they think, man, he's just a friendly big guy. How do you change that fucking mentality to go from being a singing and dancing to then killer mentality?
With me, it's just as soon as my tune goes off, lad, and I can hear the announcer, I have just zone in on my opponent. 9 times out of 10, I'll just stand there looking at my opponent. I won't take my eyes off him. I won't turn around, talk to my corner, have a drink, nothing like that. I'll just stand there staring at him for the whole time. I won't take my eyes off my opponent. That's what gets me in the zone. And as I say, as soon as you take a punch or anything like that, or he takes it, or you throw up a punch and land a good punch, I go into, like, not autopilot, but I just zone in on him. Like, I get vicious when I'm not like that, but I do. I think, like, I'm going to hate you now. That's what goes through my head. I'm going to fucking snap your chin now.
Yeah, I'm starting to get scared, mate. Oh, shit. I was starting to get worried there. I was like, is that me? If I done, I'm sorry. with your wee break in Cornwall, was that good? Or were you just kind of on your phone all the time, kind of? Because everything was popping then.
I'm always on my phone anyway. I'm bad, Lord. It always moans at me for that. Get off your phone, get off your phone. But it was just more active there. Because we went in May. And I got like 4 or 5 photos, and we went this time, and I got like 60, 70, 80 photos, lad. We were there for a bit longer this time, but like, we went into a pub one night to saw a fish in, and last time we were going there every day because it was local to where we was. And this time we only went in there twice, but we went in there the first time, got a few pictures and signed something, and then on the Friday night, lad, because obviously everyone was in there, I must have got about 30 photos. It was just mad. It was just sad. Didn't expect this in Cornwall, in Liverpool, because that's been happening in Liverpool for years, lad. We've always been getting pictures in Liverpool and stuff like that, especially with younger people and with kids and that. But now, lad, it's a complete different demographic.
Do you think you ever get tired of that?
I think everyone ends up getting tired of it, but if I went up to someone who I was looked up to when I was a kid and said, can I have a picture? And he said no, I'd be so disappointed in them. Mm-hmm. So I'll never say no to anyone. Yeah, the only time it gets annoying is when you're sitting there eating food.
Yeah,
someone done that in Cornwall, lad. I was stood on the pier eating a bubble waffle with 2 bits of ice cream in and pure chocolate, lad. Chocolate dripping down my hands, dripping down my chin. And this woman who's about 60 comes over and goes, can I get a picture? Come on, love, are you for real? There's chocolate all down my chin. I swear, lad. My beard is looking on proper snarling. They're the only, for me, that's the only time it gets annoying when I'm busy doing something or I'm eating food, lad.
I think it's only going to get worse for you, bro.
Yeah, like, it's only going to get worse. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see myself in the future doing a McGregor where he just takes someone's phone and bounces it off the floor. Because that's just, it's just video when you're on the sly or like just round your face is annoying, lad. Like, that's like next level. Don't be doing that.
Because you're still fighters at the end of the day. You're still not going to take any shit.
Like. And at the end of the day, we're still normal people, lad. You don't want someone like, think me bit had said they were doing it in the Nando's last night. We're getting a picture with two kids on the way out. And one of the staff in the Nando's was taking a picture of me while I weren't looking, and my bird snarled the life out of it. Like, that's annoying when people are videoing and taking pictures of you when you're not looking.
Yeah, it's a sneaky shit.
Yeah.
It's when you're in it, maybe in the fucking nest or doing a shit and somebody pops their head over the cubicle. Oh, lad.
It's like that Eminem song, you know, lad, where he says, can't go in the bog without you smelling me shit.
Massive Liverpool fan, bro.
Yeah.
And your blood, your
the mighty Reds, lad.
So how's that experience going to Anfield and shit now? Like, was everybody fucking all over you?
Well, lad, yeah. The other day when I went to Anfield, luckily enough, the last two times I went to Anfield, I've got half a season ticket this year in Centenary. Well, the Kenny Dalglish stand, it's called now, isn't it? But I've got half a season ticket there. But the last two games, lad, one of my mates got me in his, like, in the lounge with him, and then one of my sponsors got me in the other day. So I've been going to the ground hour and a half before kickoff, been getting there like an hour and a half, and lad, I've still been getting pitches there an hour and a half before. I don't know what it's because, lad, when I go, I get in like 10 minutes before kickoff, if that, 5 minutes before kickoff, and You'll Never Walk Alone's going off. And I can't think of what it's going to be like when I go at that time again. But it's going to be the City game, innit? So like the next, when I go to the City game, lad, it's going to be hard work.
You see yourself walking out there on the world title for the UFC?
Yeah, I do, lad. But I'll be honest, I reckon I'd rather bring the UFC to Anfield and fight in Anfield than win a world title.
Yeah, cause it's never been a fight in Anfield, has there? I think Callum Smith tried to get it.
Yeah, they tried to get it on, but it's just never happened.
Why is that?
I don't know. Obviously, with the season, lad, it'd have to be in May. I mean, it'd have to be like the proper back end of May or June or early July. Like, they wouldn't do it any other time of year because of the fuzzy. Yeah.
You've had a few Scotsmen play for Liverpool. Ken Kenny, Souness, Robertson. Who's your best?
I'm going to have to say Dalglish, aren't we, lad?
Yeah, he's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah, Dalglish is the man, lad. But then obviously my dad goes on about Souness. But Robbo's the man for me, lad. Robbo's one of my favourites in the team, lad. He's everywhere. You forgot the main man there as well, though, when we talk about the idea, Shanks.
Fuck's sake, what a fucking guy, legend, lad. Man.
What a guy.
Yeah. So you're buzzing for it in the future, everything all planned, lad.
Yeah, lad, Liverpool need to get on me and say, yeah, there's a few free tickets there, but there's fucking door hinges, lad.
If they're not give you fucking.
No, lad,
yet.
Never, ever. Molly's been given all sorts of heaven. You know what I mean? No wonder that gets called the People's Club.
Your relationship with Molly seems tight as fuck. Like, shout out to Molly, man. I love it.
Yeah, Molly's solid. Boss, lad. Molly's my big sister, lad. She's great.
Shouting, she's wanting a bevy and shit. Like, that kind of put the Scousers as just crazy alcoholics, man, after that fight night. Like.
Every time she goes out now, lad, everyone's just like, do you want a bevy? Do you want a bevy? Yeah. People just don't stop buying the bevies now, lad.
How is that relationship? Was you trained for years?
Yeah, we've trained together since like 2011 or something. You know what I mean? She's went and lived in Bournemouth and stuff like that, but she's always come back. Since she's come back the last time, we've just got better and better and up there and up there. And lad, in the next 2 years, lad, our gym's gonna have about 6 or 7 people in the UFC. 100%. We're going to Cage Warriors next week. One of the lads, Nathan's, are gonna win a world title, lad. It's gonna be great. Be another world title getting brought back to the gym, and there's 6 lads fighting, and I'm expecting 6 wins. Just like the other night, I had 4 lads, we have 4 wins.
How does that make you feel now that people are looking up to you for inspiration?
It's a bit mad from the start, because I was the smallest kid in there who was just part of the fight team, half looking up to everyone else, and now I'm half like the captain. And it is mad. As I say, that's the good thing about growing up. I've had to grow up a lot over the past 2 years, never mind the past 8 years. You know what I mean?
Where do you get that drive from? Where do you get that belief? Is it somebody in your family? Do you get any other fighters in your family? Where does it come from?
Nah, not. The uncle was meant to be a very, very hard fella, like, but he was a street fighter. Him and his mate Ian had beat multiple people up at once, but Brian wasn't, like, never had boxed or nothing. And people say my granddad's a tough fella, but obviously he's like 85 now, lad, so I've never looked at my granddad like that. Uh-huh. And my uncle was a footy player, lad. My uncle Frank was very good as well. My dad's older brother. So for years, my dad always said to me, don't throw it all away like him. Don't throw it all away like him. Because that's what he'd done. He loved the bevy. Loved birds. Just, he played to the Aston Villa first team when he was like 16, 17. And then just started acting the goat. And he ended up finishing his career in Australia, lad. Become a legend for a shite team over there. Because obviously the team's just shite.
Yeah.
Really could have been a legend over here.
Do you think that's where it plays in your mind?
Yeah, when it does, I always say.
Do you think that's somebody's ingrained that in your mind?
Wasted talent is one of the worst things ever.
Yeah.
Especially when someone's got the talent to do something and they just throw it all away. That's like one of the biggest wastes ever. So I'm never going to be that fella sitting in the boozer going, oh, it could have been this, could have been that. Fuck that. Fuck being that fella.
Yeah. Was there ever a time you ever felt like quitting? Because I know a lot of fighters, you have your ups and downs, like you probably have more downs than ups, but is there any time you ever felt, this is not for me fighting?
I never ever thought this is not for me. The only other time I thought that was when like the wages were bad and I didn't think I could earn enough money. I was watching my mates earn money other ways, thinking I could be doing that. Why am I in the gym all day, every day?
Did people seem used to tell people your vision? Because you're not shy about holding things back.
Oh, no, I've told.
Yeah, did people used to laugh and scream? Yeah,
people always used to laugh, lad. I always used to say, I'm glad you're laughing, because if you're not laughing at my dreams, they're not big enough. That simple.
Yeah, because you got to, that's why, like Conor McGregor again, we'll go back to him, like, he was on benefits, man. Fucking driving about in a car, it's basically not running on no fuel. Like,
but lad, I've never claimed benefits, and I've always rode a bike. So I'm even worse than him.
Have you got a driving license?
No.
What would the first car you would buy?
Don't know. I'd have one what was good on the petty, lad. Save me dough.
Going forward for the future, brother, what's your plans?
Take over. Like, literally, my face is going to be everywhere, lad. So I need to lose some weight again, because at the minute these cheeks are just too big. And I'm sitting here smiling at you now, and I just feel my cheeks out like that. Like a proper hamster.
Yeah.
But lad, my face is going to be everywhere real soon. I'm going to have another fight, hopefully another one before the end of the year. Knock someone else out or submit someone else. And then I know for a fact I'll be on over 1 million followers by the end of the year then. Another fight, another interview, a few more interviews, stuff like that. They'll probably want to offer me a new contract right away, to be honest, and that's when all the other doors open up, lad. More money, more sponsors. Life's going to be good, lad.
Yeah.
Life's going to be good.
It's already good, brother.
Yeah.
Do you sign as like a free match deal?
You sign a 4-fight deal, lad, so obviously I've only had one.
They've got you at a fucking bargain then, mate. Bastards.
Yeah, lad. So they're going to have to get, I reckon they'll probably get me to have two more fights, obviously. They won't want it to run out. So I'll have two more fights probably and then they'll offer me a new contract.
Obviously the UFC is the biggest, but could somebody pitch you, like, come in after you and offer you
someone could,
away from the UFC?
And I wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
Like Bellator's shit, lad.
Yeah.
Bellator's a load of shite. UFC is where you want to be. The only other place I'd fight would probably be one. They offer big money, but they got Mighty Mouse off the UFC. That's where he fights now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to fight them rules. I like them rules where you can throw knees on the ground. But the UFC is the place to be, lad. Especially in the 155 pound division.
Yeah, it's a tasty division.
UFC is the place to be.
So after three, do you think you'll get fast tracked to a world title?
No.
No, think so.
I think they'll do the opposite.
Hold you back.
I think they know what they've done with Till.
Yeah.
In fact, they rushed Till along, didn't they? And it's hindered them. Where, look what they're doing with O'Malley. Slowly but surely, he's fighting different people. And now I think he's fighting, seen it yesterday, he's fighting that Brian Kelleher or something. He's like, I think he might have a ranking. But he's just getting built up. I think that's what they're going to do with me.
Yeah, so you don't think you'll get a top 10?
No, I'm not fighting a top 10 on the money I'm on, lad.
Yeah.
so that
suits you as well, so you've got that business strategy to then.
Yeah, I'm not fighting like
not getting paid enough.
Nick Peterson that was saying he'd like to see me against Tony Ferguson, and lad, I'd like to see me against Tony Ferguson, but not on the contract I'm on now. Fuck that. Getting paid that money to fight Tony Ferguson, lad.
Yeah, he's still a killer, man.
Yeah, he's still one of the best 155s in the world, lad. I want fucking six figures, lad, if I'm fighting him.
Fuck that, mate. Start getting seven now, ain't it? Yeah. Fuck the world, mate. He's real mug those bastards, mate. But again, brother, buzzing for you to come on today and tell your story. Like, a lot of people get inspiration. You're hot property, man. This is only the beginning of your journey for where you're going to achieve, mate. The fight at Anfield, you're going to win the belt. Like, I see it all for you as well.
I do. People say the word destiny. I've seen me destiny. I know what's coming. You know what I mean? Even when I've been low, I've always believed it. There's only been a few times where I've had thoughts of legging MMA, and that where I've seen in my own future, me lifting a belt, me winning at Anfield, that I know it's all coming, lad. I know for a fact it is.
Yeah, that's class, man. Guys, because I love Nate Diaz in it. I know he's not got the best of records, but it's his mentality as well. People love to pay to watch him fight, man. Even though he's got fucking more losses than anybody.
In MMA, records don't mean as much, lad. Yeah. Especially, don't win near as much as boxing. Records just don't mean as much, lad. Diaz has been fighting the best in the world consistently for 10 years. So some of them losses, most of them losses against high level guys.
Yeah.
Can't really moan about it. Same with Masvidal. People go on about his record, but all his losses are to good fighters. Half of them are split decisions.
Yeah. Diaz, man, he can't even put that bastard down, man. He's fucking take some.
Yeah, he can't take some punches, Diaz.
To the head, man. It's unbelievable. The punishment that you guys take, people don't. It's not just getting fit and try to cut weight. It's the mental battle as well that these have to fucking go through. It's next level stuff.
That's what I've always been good with, the mental side. Always. Yeah. I've always believed in myself, even since I started doing it. I've always believed that what I could be and what I could achieve. And I'm starting to do that even more and more. I've always done it since I was younger. My mental side has got me through a good few fights and a good few weight cuts and a good few fight camps.
Yeah. How do you stay humble then? How do you stay foot in the floor now that everything's kind of exploded?
I'm just me, lad.
Just be you. Just fuck everything else.
Yeah, I'm just me, lad. Mm-hmm. I half let it go to me head a bit when I was 21 and I won that belt. Started doing daft shit and it'll never happen again, lad. Even when I'm earning millions and hundreds of millions of pounds, lad. I'm just, as I say, I always say, I'm just me, lad. But I am. I'm just me.
That's why you're loved.
And I know the money won't get to me yet because I'm half a tight cunt myself, lad. Yeah. I walk a shop round the corner to get a can for 80p instead of a pound, mate.
I think that's the best way, though, mate. Money's precious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, lad. I can't wait till money's no object, though. And I know I'm going to get to that point when money is just an object.
Yeah. The thing I like about yourself, Paddy, as well, that you share a lot of charities, you share a lot of people try to get help and that's the best thing because that's the key to life as well, is trying to help other people.
That's what we should use our platform for, lad. That's what, we've got that many followers. Mm-hmm. We need to help people who need help. That's what the way I look at things, lad. If I was them in that situation, would I want me to share it? Yeah, share it then.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Is there any name that you know it's going to start calling you and start talking shit about you?
There's a few of them already, lad.
Starting.
Are we talking about MMA fighters or
anybody?
Oh, lad, there's always lizards about, lad. You know what I mean? There's proper mushrooms in this city that hate me, and they just do hate me. Whether we've been on the wrong side of each other over the years, I've said something about them, and they'll always continue to hate me, lad. But look at me now,
flying. Sitting across from me, mate. You know life is good, bro.
Who's in the better position now, lad?
Yeah,
me or you?
For anybody watching, brother, like I say, you're an inspiration from. I know you're loved by a lot of kids in Liverpool and all around the world now. But for anybody that's maybe want to be a fighter, what advice would you give for them?
That's the same as I always give for anything, lad. Believe in yourself. I always say you can't be a fighter if you don't believe in yourself. When people ask me, "Oh, do you reckon you'd beat Poirier or do you reckon you'd beat McGregor?" I say, "Yeah," because why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't I beat him? Serious? Why would I think in my own head that someone else could beat me up? If you're in MMA or doing MMA or even doing any fighting sport and you think anyone can beat you, you're in the wrong sport. That's for footy and rugby team sports, lad, where like last night when Liverpool were playing, you're like, yeah, you know, Liverpool are going to slap these now. Norwich turned up there just knowing they were getting slapped. And you can't do that in a fight. Do that in a fight, and what happened with Cowboy and McGregor happens. You cower up in the first 30 seconds and get your head punched in. The fight sports are different, lad. You've got to look at it like, I am the best in the world. Simple as that.
I truly believe it.
Yeah.
Poirier, I think, is probably one of the best fighters in the UFC just now.
Like, yeah, he is. I think he's going to win the belt. Like, I think he's going to beat Oliveira for the belt. I've got a feeling they could ask me to fight on that card.
Yeah. And then after your new
contract. Because it's got a crowd, hasn't it?
Yeah. Where do you think the next fight will be?
I think it's going to be have a crowd, like.
Yeah.
They're going to want to put me on with a crowd, definitely,
man. Like, you're the main dog now, man.
Yeah, they do. They're going to want to put me on with a crowd and, like, hear the noise of my walkouts and that. 100%, I know they will.
Yeah, but, class.
I was thinking they could come to England before the end of the year, but there isn't even really any weekends free where they could just throw it on there. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably come back to England in, like, March or something now.
That's big plans, man, big visions. And would you like to finish up on anything, brother?
Huh? As I say, lad, I'm very chilled, lad. I don't need to say nothing about anyone.
That's the fucking best, brother. You know, Paddy, listen, for coming on today, brother, and telling your story.
Well,
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, mate. I can't fucking wait to see
you. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it as well. Oh, nice one for having me.
God bless you.
You know that fella.